stretch out, but your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin,
welcome to episode number 177 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. No sponsor on this week's episode, so just a massive thank you to all our Patreon supporters for keeping the show alive and coming out to you every week. Welcome to my co-host down in Anglesey. Knows a lot about the pronunciation of animals, this guy, and insects and bugs, Julian Spence. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Well, yeah, I thought I did.
Heated discussion off air with our other co-host Bradley Croker. How are you going this week?
Good, mate. I can hear those cicadas there in the background.
Yeah, the Moama cicadas. That's what we're opening up to, aren't we? Which way is it pronounced?
Well, I've just sent you boys a YouTube clip, and it sounds like David Attenborough has said cicadas. So I'm going with the nature man.
Whereas Moose and I, what are we? Cicadas. I don't even know which one I am anymore. I've spoken about this for so long.
I'm going cicadas.
Open the show strong.
Cicada,
this week,
definitely cicada.
Anyway, if you've got an opinion, let us know on all the social media pipes. What's been happening, fellas? Brad, tell us a bit about Canberra.
It's a little bit wet. Not quite as wet as Sydney and sort of mid-north coast, but it's been pretty much on and off rain since Saturday. And I think tomorrow's the worst day. We're expected between like 50 and 70 mils. So, but we've, yeah, come out of it pretty lucky.
No, like, evacuation warnings or anything for you, though, is there? None of that stuff?
No, not at this stage, but I did hear on the radio this afternoon that if they get as much rain tomorrow as they expect, areas around Queanbeyan, which is just out of Canberra, and Molonglo Valley, there might be some issues there, but we'll be fine where we are. We're up on a hill.
Yeah, Moose, and down your way? Anglesey, what's happening down there?
Well, it's been a little damp, but no real solid rainfall or anything. Just like some spitting, passing showers. That's it. Just real humid, I guess.
Yeah, similar here in Moama. Like, we had a lot of rain on, well, not a lot, just like a normal rainy day yesterday, and then it's been, yeah, hardly anything today. But anyway, people on the, where'd you say, Brad? Sydney, northern central coast.
Yeah, so Western Sydney, like the Hawkesbury around up in the Blue, like just at the base of the Blue Mountains, and then up on the mid-north coast around like Port Macquarie, Kempsey, Taree, that sort of area, copped it pretty bad. And also like the southern part of the Gold Coast.
Yeah, right. Any listeners up there, stay safe. Tell us about your running week, Crokes. What have you been doing the week before a race?
Yeah, so Monday, I didn't have to go to work. So I went to the gym at about 11:30, did an hour there. And then that afternoon went out for my standard sort of two laps around Mulligan's. So 14.5K, 4:13s. Tuesday, I didn't do a double. So just went out to the track that afternoon. Warming up once again is just real rubbish in terms of like back and hamstring and everything. But it ended up being like a really, really fun session. The track was packed because there's two synthetic tracks in Canberra, one in Woden and the AIS, but the Woden one's closed at the moment. So it meant that everybody was at the AIS. So there was like Telford's group, Philo's group, Des Proctor's group. So anyway, our session was 10 400s off a minute rest. So one of those just real old school, just traditional sort of sessions. And it was good because the young guys that I've been training with, we were all able to basically share the reps. So of the 10, I only had to lead three, which compared to pretty much all the other sessions that we've been doing on these Tuesdays, I've often been solo for part of it. So sessions just go so much smoother and don't feel as taxing when you can basically lead a 400 meter rep and then switch off for the next 5 minutes, just follow. So first rep was like 69, the last rep was 65, and the rest were all between like 66 and 68. So working hard.
So what do you reckon, your average, 67?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, like I was working solid, but I was definitely recovering well in that minute rest, and you know, could have kept doing a few more. But it was just awesome having just people to help out. And these guys, they're all sort of uni students, so like 20, 23. They're like super keen on their running. So I think it's going to be a really good group over winter where we can, sort of do some stuff together, because they're obviously all going to be on the improve, whereas I'm going to be not really improving, just trying to maintain where I'm at.
Which three did you lead? I've got them open now.
I led the first one.
69, bit slow compared to the average.
Yeah, it takes me a while to get going though. But that's the funny thing about sessions. Like that 69 felt just as hard as, you know, the 67s. But yeah, 69, I led the last one.
65, good.
65, and I would have led the probably fourth one.
Oh,
66,
yeah.
66, I think, 60, maybe.
Oh, 68 it says here. Oh, no, 66, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, so the ones I led.
That's solid from you.
Yeah, so that was Tuesday. Wednesday, I didn't go quite as long. So last week and this week, I thought I would just back off the mileage a little bit. So rather than doing my, you know, 80 minutes to 90 minutes, just sort of another hour. So 14.5K, 418s. Thursday, just 45 minutes, 411s. And then we came to this 3K time trial. So Viv actually headed off to Albury on, when was it, Thursday? Yeah, Thursday afternoon. She headed down there for a Fashions on the Field comp with the kids and her parents. So I was home Thursday night, Friday night. So yeah, worked Friday, got home, and I was just like, oh, I really don't want to go out and do this. And like, if I wasn't meeting these other guys, like I wouldn't have done it. I just, I don't know, like I was definitely had that pre-race, you know, that feeling you get for a race, like pre-race nerves sort of all day. And to the point where like, it's sort of anxiety, I suppose, like you almost just want it to be over. You guys have ever, you guys experienced that before races, surely?
I think it's called a 3K time trial, though, if I experience that.
But do you experience it to the point where you almost, like, you don't, in a way, like, you know you're fit, you want the result at the end of the race, but you really don't want to go and do it?
I think it's dreading the pain that you know is going to come up.
Yeah, or also hoping that the training that you've been doing is replicate, like, you know, when you do the race, it feels the way you hope it should feel based on what you've been training, and you run a time that you feel like you should be running.
Yeah,
that's probably what. Yeah, and I think just the unknown, like as runners with that type of personality that you like to, you know, plan everything and nail everything, and so just the unknown of how it's going to go.
But you, all you need to do, like we've been telling you, you'd be able to do this for months now.
Yeah. But you still want it. I don't know. But until you step on the track and do it, you still don't know.
You don't know, but like you've been around running enough where it kind of makes sense. This is what.
But I'm generally always a guy that will understate, I think, how I'm going compared to like going, yeah, I'm absolutely killing it. Like, I don't know, maybe I need a little bit more confidence. I don't know.
See, I thought you were just doing that to play it up. Like, I thought you were just like sandbagging a bit, just laying it low.
It didn't make sense to me.
It doesn't. Like, when you look at the training and like you're talking about a 9-3K, you should have done
that easy. I guess I sometimes get a little bit negative about things. Like, I just think back to, all right, the last 3K I did was when I paced M Brickachek with Matt Johnson. And so that was about a year ago. And like I shared the lead with Matt, you know, we're doing pretty much 800 meters each. And like I ran 8:58, and yeah, it wasn't all out, but I was like, that was pretty bloody hard. So I expected it to be difficult. Anyway, got out there. I wasn't in the greatest mood to start with because I was warming up. I'm like, body's rubbish again. And then I got there a bit earlier than the other boys just because I wanted to have a good long warm up, give myself enough time to do drills, strides, all that sort of stuff. They rocked up and they're all sort of pumped, and it's really cool to see just how enthusiastic they are. Anyway, got through the warm up. After I had a stretch and did some strides, I actually started to feel pretty good. And, you know, I had those sort of race nerves going, so I thought I'd do some 200s beforehand. So I did 3 200s. And this is the difference between training and, like, that race feel. I did basically all my 200s were, like, 33 seconds, but felt like I was pretty much running. Like, in training, it would have been, like, a same effort as like a 36. You just have that, you know, you're just alert, you've got a bit more adrenaline, everything just feels a little bit easier than it does when you rock up just for a standard Tuesday, Friday session. So after I hit those sort of 33 second 200s, I thought, all right, I should be good to go now. So we took off and pretty much just rolled, like, I guess a lot of just 71s. Like I reckon I went through a K in about 258, probably 2K in like 556, 57. By that stage, Charlie, who wanted to break nine, had fallen off a little bit. And I sort of just kept the pace pretty just consistent. And 3K, like, it's over before you know it. I sort of got to, after 2K, ran another 200. I'm like, shit, I've only got two laps to go. And still felt pretty controlled. Like, I was getting a little bit of, like, hamstring and back just tightening up a little bit. And then, yeah, I sort of kicked down maybe the last 200-300. But I remember looking down the back straight, looking at the clock going, all right, when would have I crossed the finish line when I ran my PB? And I was like about 250 metres to go. I'm like, oh, okay, that's not too bad. So kicked down a little bit and ran, 851.8 on my watch. It was hard, but it was definitely, if I had to compare it to like a training session, it would have been, you know, when you're maybe halfway through quarters or halfway to three quarters through like a monofartlek and you're working hard, but all you need is that little bit of a float and you can go again. That's probably how I felt. So I definitely came away with a lot of confidence knowing that I was 8 seconds under 3 minute K pace. And I felt like if I just ran a 40 second 200 and lost 4 seconds of the 8 seconds that I was up, I could have run probably another two laps quite comfortably at 72. So I could have almost fartleked it, I reckon, to the end. So
why didn't you go harder?
Because I was there to help those guys, but also just get an idea of what, you know, the 5K. Because I wasn't, well, this weekend's the main one. So I wasn't there to absolutely rinse myself.
This week, what? Pull out the rinser. Did the other two guys run? Did they get
even then, even then this weekend, I'm hoping I don't have to rinse myself to break 15.
At what point did you dump the guys you were pacing?
Charlie fell off at about just before 2K. He actually did really well. Like, I thought, well, he's probably just going to fade a little bit because he's only been running for a few months and he's run like 16:30 for 5K. So, you know, so for him breaking not like nine was probably a little bit unrealistic, but he ended up with 9:01 or 9:02. Oh. So it was a pretty good run.
Imagine if you didn't drop him and stayed with
him.
Yeah,
I know.
And did you pace it well?
Well, I did because I was pretty much, 3 seconds up through 2K. And all the time that I made up was really in the last 200.
Bit of bank time energy.
Is this the guy in the inside running green singlet here, Croaks?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got good swag, doesn't he? So he's how old is he?
Like 23.
Yeah.
He was a cyclist, but now he's turned to running. And then we had another guy, Max. He ran, 9:20. So his PB before that was 9:30. And then there was another guy that ran about 9:40.
Hey, did you run this with 1K splits on your watch?
Oh, how annoying. Oh, I was looking at that too.
I was like, really? Oh, that would do my head in.
What would you do?
Accurate. Just turn them off.
No, it's not. But I was
manually hit it.
I wasn't worried about the splits. Like, because there was a few
people
out there.
You were meant to be pacemaking. You were meant to get it right. You've got to worry about the splits.
Doesn't your watch beep?
But my watch still has elapsed time, and I know exactly what time I should be running through each lap.
Ah, so you're
not hard.
When
you're running
112, 224, 336.
When you're running 72s, it's pretty easy. Plus, there was one guy calling out splits at like the 200 meter mark.
Was he yelling out splits of elapsed time or that lap split?
It was funny. So started off, I said, just do a lapse time. And I think maybe they swapped. There was two guys out there. And I think one guy started doing it and he was just calling out the elapsed time. And then maybe another guy took over. And then all of a sudden he started telling me what I was running for each individual lap. I looked down at the watch. And so I knew pretty much where I was at all the time.
So in your head, can you, because I struggle doing maths when I'm running. Like, were you doing them? I can do it every lap for like 3 minute K pace, but not the 200 meter split. That's too much thinking for me when I'm going hard.
Well, no, because I go 72 and then I know it's 148 and then it's going to be 224.
Yeah, and
3 minutes.
Then I just know
3 minutes.
Yeah,
then it's 336 and then you know it's going to be 4:12 because it's 72 yeah. after 3
I'm
minutes.
I'm going after that.
Are you with me, Moose? Like, you, yeah, I just hit my watch and just say I just need to see 36 and then hit
well,
it.
Well, see, that yeah. was probably, well, I guess for me, that was another good sign, was that I was able to still yeah. consciously know what was going on. Whereas if I was like in an all out race, like I would have yeah, lost track of where I was at.
Mm.
Anyway,
good, good confidence
yeah,
booster.
Pretty happy with that. And then, yeah, swung by, grabbed a burrito on the way home, had a beer, watched some footy, and the one beer absolutely, like, flattened me. I was pissed, had, like, a headache all the rest of the night. Couldn't sleep. And then, yeah, went out around lunchtime for a run. Just, yeah, two laps again around Mulligan's, 4:13s. And then Sunday I didn't get out till lunchtime. I tried to, I guess, yeah, avoid the worst of the weather and did the exact same loop as the week before. Just now, 4:05, 4:06s. Back was a lot better, actually. I got treatment on Thursday night, and since the 3K time trial, my back has not been as niggly for as long. Like, it's always niggly at the start of runs, but, you know, the week before it was sore for about an hour of the long run, but within 20, 30 minutes, I was feeling okay. So not very a huge good. Week, not a huge week mileage wise, like 106. And this week will be pretty similar. And then I'll have maybe like a down week or two of just sort of, you know, cruising around a little bit before I work out what I'll do next.
What the next goal is. Details about Saturday night. Is it it's a night race, isn't it? What time?
Yeah, so the proposed timetable at the moment is that the community 5K race will be on at 8 o'clock. They did say that depending on entries, if they got a lot of entries, they would have more than one race. But yeah, at this stage, the 5K is on at 8 o'clock.
What's this event again?
You could be lapping. This could be a risk for you.
Yeah.
Like, if you have to do this solo and if you've got to run around a lot of people, like a lot of times, like you yeah, don't have that many seconds to be playing with. You might have to be in 14:40 shape.
I was thinking that, like, because at the AIS, we had the track, like, to ourselves. Like, it was a little bit windy. Like, it was maybe 20K an hour winds. But if conditions are exactly the same as what we had on Friday in Sydney, then, you know, that'd be perfect. But, yeah, having to lap lots of people is a bit of an issue. I've actually got Jack Maxwell, who I coach. He's sort of having a bit of a transition period up. Like, he's finished track now. So he's going to come out and run 9 minutes for 3K. So I plan on just sitting behind him for the first 3K.
Okay, that's good.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Like if you know, if there's people from 15 minutes through to like 22 minutes in the race.
Is there no A race?
Well, no, it's like the only all the 5K races are just community 5Ks. So it'll be, well, they will do, I guess, a seeded. Like, if they've got enough entries, they'll do two races and they'll seed them. But it depends how many entries they get. If they only get, like, 20 entries, it'll be everybody and, you know, you could have a 30-minute runner on there on the track.
And this is a legit meet, though? Like, they'll stream this?
Yeah, I think,
like,
yeah.
Like, an athletics meet, not just a community.
Yeah, no, they are.
There's more to
yeah,
it.
So it's, yeah, so it's like a New South Wales Athletics / Bankstown Athletics. So it's called the Bankstown Invitational.
And, yeah, okay.
I think the main events are probably like the 800, 1500, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But they seem to put a community 5K on now at every single track meet,
yeah.
Which is a good idea to just get the recreational runners involved.
Get the park run crowd to the track. I love yep, it.
Exactly.
A few people have been hitting me up about if we'll Facebook Live the Maccas afterwards or do some uh-huh. kind of like watch party for that. So, yeah, we'll get something off the ground later in the week.
Got to get it first.
This could be the biggest thing that's happened for the show, like other than Moose going the World Champs for the marathon. Biggest race to follow. I can't wait to see the stream for the Bankstown Invitation just like triple in numbers when the community 5K starts and you hit the track.
Is there no A race? Did I just ask that?
There is.
Yeah, no.
It's just community 5Ks.
Anybody that wants to run a 5K can enter, and then depending on numbers, they'll either have one race or two races.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know I've had this conversation a lot of times, but are you going to wear spikes?
No. I haven't put the spikes. I haven't done a session in the spikes.
Dragonflies. It's not committing to them. Which it's a community race. It's not a sanctioned event, so I'm okay with it. You're just following the rules of the race.
That's right. You can wear whatever you want.
Yeah.
Is it a PB though?
Well, he's not going for his PB.
I'm not going for a PB.
So. Oh, but he's yeah, okay.
And technically, Brady's PB was in a pair of these shoes anyway.
Yeah, but I followed the rules at the time, guys.
But the point
let's
is,
let's not bring that up again. Okay.
Let's say, for example, I ran 4:08 in the same pair of 1408, sorry, in the same pair of shoes that you ran for your PB, you're going to say my PB doesn't count?
Oh, it depends on what depends on what event it is.
Well, no, on the track. Like, that's this is where it's so stupid.
I know. So this race I'm doing this Thursday, you're allowed to wear whatever shoes you want, and I'm going to wear my next percenters, knowing that it won't count as a result.
Knowing that will give you shit afterwards.
Because it's not a sanctioned event. No, I'm not breaking any rules.
Yeah, you're only saying that now because you're not in PB shape. If you're in PB
shape... Did you see my workout last week? I actually think I am back in PB shape. I'm going back all right.
You know what this is like? This is like the bodybuilding contest where they allow, like, steroids and growth hormone.
The shoe? No, it's not, because the shoes are not performance enhancing.
The legal competitions where they don't allow that... So,
the shoes are not performance enhancing. Have a look at how many guys are going to rock up at the Olympics wearing these things in the 5K. No one. They should be taking top. My 1409 should be like a 1355, actually. I ran it in heavy as shoes. Imagine what I could have run in light spikes.
Well, yeah, we saw what you ran in light spikes. You almost didn't run. You ran about the same time that I ran for 3K.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. 8:48. Then I turned into a 1409. So you should be right next week.
I cannot believe that you ran 8:48 when you were in 1409 shape for an all-out 3K, and I didn't cruise around, but like comfortably could have run 8:48, like on Friday.
I remember talking to you, Brad, after this. And we had a conversation. We were like, this bloke is a head case. This bloke has some mental issues that doesn't let him run fast or something.
Just the footwear, fellas. Nothing wrong with that. Just the footwear.
He did bounce back.
He did bounce back. And then went
to Zatopek and bounced back as well. That was a solid result too.
Just a real scary opener.
Oh, yeah. I literally ran out of four races. I ran a half marathon PB, an 8:48 3K, a 14:09, and then a 29:34. It was just a real outlier. Anyway,
half marathon PB.
Yeah, Melbourne half marathon when I come third.
Oh.
And then I went and won Hobart half marathon. Jeez, the glory days this time last year. Anyway, Moose, tell us about your week.
I had up and down week. Finished the week stronger than I started. So I jogged in the morning on Monday with Bree, and then in the afternoon I jogged 12K back on the Surf Coast after going to the Yu Yangs. Next morning, jogged back in the Asics Glide Ride, so that the stiffest shoes I've ever owned. And then in the afternoon,
Is that the one they gave us, the Glide Ride 2s?
Yeah, yeah.
That is my favourite shoe at the moment. I love it.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the rocker. I wore them this afternoon.
I've done my last two Sunday long runs in it and just felt amazing. It's a great shoe.
It's a very strong rocker. Yeah. Mm. It is a great shoe for what it is. I'm surprised that you love it so much given that it's quite different underfoot to normal shoes.
And my first impression was, this is different, and I'm not sure if I like it different. And then the more I've worn it, the more I look forward to wearing it. And actually, when I was running on Sunday or Saturday, I was like, I think I'm going to buy another pair of these just because I like the shoe so much.
You don't find there's a fair bit of shoe under you, though?
Yeah, that's why I kind of like that, though.
Yeah, see, whereas I feel like I move better in, like, a lighter, like Pegasus. Like,
you
know.
I think you need to alternate with this shoe. This shoe should be a pure recovery shoe, like Monday morning type thing. Mm. Cool. That's what you should use this one
for. Can you get rolling in it, though?
I never tried because I've never really had to.
I got rolling in it on Saturday, like rolling some 355s and stuff, and just felt great underfoot.
Yeah, but shoes, like some shoes can help for sure, but I think you probably put too much weight into what the shoe's doing. Yeah,
and how you actually just recovered and feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you would have put the pegs on and ran that fast as well.
Yeah, yeah, good point you make there. I'd expect that from a shoe dog like you.
Yeah, well, I like to talk up the shoes.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
You should talk them down someday.
If anyone's interested in this pair, though, you can get them from the running company Ballarat, I'm sure.
Oh, you can. We did a review on it, the Asics Glide, right? We put it in Shoe Geek so you can have a look at it.
I like the grip on it too.
When we did the review, though, Brad's and I hadn't arrived. Remember, you had to wing us through that?
Okay. Yeah, right. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, that was good. Asics are not sponsoring this week's episode.
That was good stuff. Anyway, so that afternoon I had hill repeats. and I had like the worst workout I could have ever. It could be up there with the worst workout I've ever done in my life. So the original plan was five sets of 2 minute uphill repeat, and then jog back, and then 30-second repeat jog back. So you're going to do 10 reps all up, 5 2-minute reps, 5 30-second reps. And we were searching for the hill during the warm-up that we were going to use. I had a fair idea of the one, but it wasn't quite long enough. And so we went on the back side of this hill. And that also wasn't long enough, but it was a lot steeper. And I thought, oh, we'll do this one because it's steeper, it'll take us a bit longer. I was doing the workout with Toby, who's going to be your competition in Canberra, Brady.
Yeah, you said he's fit.
Yeah.
And you just gave him some kudos then, actually. Just try to suck up to him before this Canberra half marathon.
You pussy. Mm-hmm. So the hill reps, the first rep that we took off on, it went okay for probably a minute. And then after a minute, I started feeling like my hamstring, my glutes, my calves were all getting super tight. Like they were almost cramping up. And I thought, what the fuck's going on? This doesn't seem right. And I could barely get to the end of the rep, which was 90 seconds, 410 meters in 90 seconds. And I thought, oh, this is not right. Like there's something really wrong here. And I jogged back down and did the 30-second rep. Oh, well, it was 33 seconds the next hill. And then by the time I jogged back down for rep number two, again, I could do the rep, but it was 3 seconds slower this time. What was happening, I was getting to the top of the hill and I was having trouble actually lifting my legs because they were so kind of like fatigued. My workout just got worse and worse. So I could barely get any type of explosiveness or drive or pop. And I ended up just like getting an enormously high heart rate without knowing exactly what it was because I wasn't wearing a strap, but I could barely finish each rep. So my reps went like 90 seconds, 93 seconds, 95 seconds, 142, and then that was 4 reps and I couldn't get I did do the next rep, 148, and I was running 414 pace up this hill. It was pretty crazy how bad it was going. And by that stage, the 30-second reps, I was still kind of still hanging on to that 33 kind of second range. And by that stage, Toby had sort of run off on me, kind of finished the session doing it properly, did it well. And I was just like floundering around behind. And, oh, God. In the end, I wanted to do 6 reps because the hills were shorter. I ended up doing 3 more 30-second reps at the end of 5 of those sets. And it was just a bit embarrassing at the end. So I cooled down. And during the cool down, I nearly passed out. Like I was so fucked. It was almost as if I was at the end of a 40K hard long run and I could barely make it to the finish. And I got upstairs to where we were staying and I was just like fell over. And it took me about probably 30 minutes to kind of compose myself and get normal again. I thought, what the hell just happened? I'm trying to put it down to diet. Like, did I not eat enough during the day? Was I too fatigued from getting up early, running, driving to work, working all day, no real break, and then doing the workout? Was it too hot? I was kind of searching for excuses. I also put it down to not doing strength work for the last nearly 12 months now. I thought, you've got no power left in your legs.
But do you think you, like, because hills aren't new to you. Like, you're doing a lot of strength work just with the hills that you run over in your general week. Like, it shouldn't be a shock to the system running up hills for you.
No, I know. That's why it was weird.
Yeah. I think it's almost sound, nutrition stuff.
I reckon, though, you underestimate, like, you might have some slight muscle imbalances, like, which, you know, maybe the strength stuff is the reason. And because it sounds very similar, like, if you get tight in certain areas, like your psoas or whatever, that starts to affect like your pelvis position and you can't actually activate your glutes, but you still go and try and run a session like at a pace that you know you should be able to do, but you're just not firing on all cylinders and you just cook yourself. Like, yeah, it's very similar to the stuff and like that session you did on the track where you just had no power whatsoever. And I reckon that's more to do with you, like, and especially as you get older, you just get tight and you have these muscle imbalances which stop you from being in good running positions.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely feel that when I am inflamed or like when I go through those patches, but my body actually felt quite good before I was doing these reps, and even during the flatter kind of section of the hill rep, it felt fine. That's why it didn't make sense to me. But I don't know. Like, I go back now and I've just looked at the actual workout and the pace, like the gap.
And the gap, yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Like, you're running 240 pace in the first one.
Yeah, 240 pace, then 241 pace for the next one. 207, that's ridiculous. I'm not sure how it gets these gap calculations. We probably shouldn't look at it after that 207.
I love how you're trying to justify this with how hard you're going. And then I was like, maybe it's actually right. 211.
Maybe it was more that the big dog of Ballarat got shown up.
No, but isn't like Toby is a big dog now, isn't he, though?
Well, he is now.
You're lucky he's going to Canberra,
Toby's
not going to Hobart.
Fuck all so far. Toby a little bitch still.
You're lucky he's not going down to Hobart for this half marathon, I reckon. I'll have to take one for the team up in Canberra. Get smoked.
Yeah, you'll get smoked.
Has he got a kick finish on him?
I don't know. No idea. He dropped me by about the second rep, so I didn't need to worry about his kick finish.
Do some track workouts with him and just get me a bit of a taster. See what happens.
Yeah. The next morning, I jogged 15 with him. And then that was kind of tired after that, but it wasn't too bad. And then 7K, jogged down the highway to get picked up.
He's gone out and done 23, though, after you've done 15.
Yeah, he's on the mileage train. Coached by Gary Howard, they do enjoy a bit of midweek long running, don't they?
Hour 45 on your midweeker. Yeah. Anyway, it's not about Toby, it's about Julian Spence.
Yeah, this isn't the Toby podcast. This is the Moose podcast with Brady and Brad.
I'll give you that one.
The next morning, I jogged with Ali, and she's like, okay, I know you're fucked. We'll go flat. And then we end up climbing nearly 300 meters on this 16K run, which, yeah, wasn't ideal, considering the idea was to sort of give me a bit of a rest.
Was there another lover's tiff? When you realized it wasn't so flat? Did you crack the shits?
No, this was my loop, I think. I reckon this was my loop, so I couldn't really blame her. And I'd actually started feeling really quite good by now. Like, it was strange because after that Tuesday, my body recovered really well. And that afternoon, jogged 4:17s down in Aries and did some strides in a new ASICS race shoe coming out. And the body started to feel quite good. So the next morning, it was a bit of a later start. Can't remember what. Oh, I had a treatment in the morning. Got some treatment and then went straight to the workout. So the workout was 6x K on, K float. So a 12K kind of tempo alternating paces. The paces were supposed to be, I'd been given a range by Ali, so 3 minute to 3:05 for the on and then 3:20 to 3:25 for the off. That range came in late after I had a couple of bad workouts lately, so she'd actually adjusted it to make it easier. And I'm the kind of person that sort of doesn't like things getting made easier for them. So
can I just interrupt for a minute? Didn't you do this the week before when you did, like, wasn't it 3x3K, and she also gave you a range and you did the first one at the faster end of the range and then you blew to pieces?
So I did 5x2.5K on.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was too close to the range, and to be fair, like, I actually fucked this workout up again. I didn't fuck it up because I finished it well, comfortably within the paces, and I didn't blow up or anything. But I went out too hard early again. And it just made life really difficult in the back half of the workout to try to keep the paces, to keep the reps even. So if I had have started at 305, 325, I could have closed really comfortably and felt really solid. Mm. But I went out in 259, 320, you know, like, or 319 or something. And it just, it puts you a little behind the eight ball. But I don't know, just sort of how I operate.
Typical. Well, most runners do that. Like, especially if you get given a range, you're always thinking that you want to be at the, like, you're always thinking that being at the top end of the range is better than being at the lower end. Like, it's probably more just for you, for, like, you know, psychological reasons more than anything.
See, I don't. I always think, how can I make this as easy as possible for myself?
Bullshit. Yeah. You love fifth gear.
Yeah. And I pull that out at the end of the workouts because I've been settled early on.
It's funny. This is, we had the same conversation. Yeah, like,
get the first one for free. Get the first one for free. Run in 306 if she said 3 to 306. And then start chucking it in fifth in the back end there.
We were discussing the type of personalities that look at a workout and go, who's going to go 305, 325 straight up?
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not that personality. You're not that personality either. And then I reeled off a few names of people that I knew were the sort of personality who would look at the workout and go, yep, 305's got my name all over it. Like a pass mark, but I don't need to do anything special.
Who'd you say, Moose? Chuck a few names under the bus.
No, I'm not saying names because...
You could argue that it's sensible anyway. Exactly. Like it's not being soft, it's being sensible. Like, I guarantee you Crichton would be the one that goes, you know what, I'm going to roll 305s to start with.
Yeah.
It's patient.
But or do you mean people who would do the whole workout at 305s though?
Well, not so much that, but they would just be more content at that higher pace range than the lower pace range. Mm. Like, and whether they would come away and if asked how their workout went, they would say, yeah, it went really well. Or if I ran 305s and came away from this, I'd go, eh, it was okay. Mm. No, like, it's just, I guess it depends how you, how satisfied you are with training and, I don't know.
Well, it's important. See, that surprises me. That surprises me from you, Moose, because, like,
yeah,
you know,
I thought you'd be the one settling.
Always come across, you know, especially over the last year or two, of like, you know, not sort of testing yourself in workouts, where it seems like here you were actually, in a way, trying to test yourself.
Well, that was the point. Yeah, I was going to make that same point you're talking about, Brad, because this is your half marathon specific workout, and you want to get this done to then have confidence at Hobart that you can run a half marathon at 3 minute K pace, not 306 pace.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I haven't raced for so long that I'm probably just not confident in where I'm at.
Yeah.
And all of these workouts are little testers for that, and it's not a good way to train.
Yeah. And Ali's probably right. Your range for race day is going to be 3 to 305.
I'm not sure about that, but because I haven't spent much time at 305.
Mm.
But you also got to remember as well, Moose, and this is sort of similar to what I was saying about the 3K that I did, where you going out and running 3 minutes on a Friday morning that means absolutely nothing, that is the same as you running like a 2:55 in a race.
Yeah, you know, so.
Yeah, and so that's why in a way you should be training at the 3:05, knowing that the perceived effort on race day, that'll be a 3 minute K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
you're not up for it. You know, it's impossible. Like there's very few people that can get themselves in the same mindset for a training session as they can for like a race or a time trial. So that's why you're better off actually being a little bit slower in training, knowing that you're going to improve anyway on race day for the same effort.
You gave me this workout, Moose, before I did that time trial up here to get the Inside Run podcast record, that same one. And I remember I pulled out of it. Archie did, I think you wanted us to do 7x to get 14K in total.
Yeah. But, what did you run?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find it now. But I remember it's a really hard workout because it's just so hard to recover. I think you wanted us to do 2:55, so you keep talking through your week and I'll find it.
All right. That afternoon, jogged down in Aries again. I gave myself a nickname, Muscles Glasses, because I've got muscles and I wear glasses. What do you think? Good nickname?
I don't know. Was that to make yourself feel better after the morning workout? Was it?
It's got one. It's one word though. It's not muscles and glasses or muscles glasses. It's muscles glasses. Thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But
sorry, I found it. Well, I pulled out at 5. I only did 10K worth of work. 308 average, but you had us doing 255s, 255, 320s. And we went 255, 318, 254, 316. And then I started blowing a pack. Then I went 255, 324, 257, 324, 254. Oh, yeah.
So we'd say 5 minutes ago, oh, I like taking it easy. I get the first half free.
Yeah, but Moose didn't give me a range. He just said run 255s.
Yeah, you're a 1409 guy. I'm a 1423 guy. Same spot, same time of the year.
Different footwear, though.
You just come off Zatopek. You ran 28:20. We're different. We were different beasts.
28:20. Two laps to go.
29:20 something, right?
29:34. Thanks, coach.
Yeah. Well, you beat me. As soon as you pass my time, I turn the TV off.
Just start getting here. Anyway, sorry, getting off track. Muscle sunnies you were talking about.
Muscles, glasses, yeah. So from now on, muscle glasses. You boys can call me that. Next morning, put a new shoe on. It's coming out in the second half of the year. It's a training shoe from New Balance. It's bloody humid. It was like pitch black, 6 a.m. They've been doing burn-offs here, like fire breaks or whatever. And all the smoke had settled because there was no wind, and it was real smoky in this valley that I ran in, and it was real humid too. So it was quite a weird kind of run, like headlamp the whole way, like full dark. Strange, but quite like meditative when you're going along and it's dark, and all you can sort of hear are your footsteps, and there's nothing really to distract you except for like a beam of light. It's a different experience. You get that headlamp yet?
No, not yet. Daylight savings ends in a couple of weeks, I don't it.
I'll send you the link. Next morning, Surf Coast Track Club rolled out down in Torquay. It was big group. Everyone somehow colour coordinated, wore their kit. We were rolling around looking like a real team. The marathoners for Hobart did 15K. We ran that with them, and then they did 10K tempo. We didn't do that with them. We all did our own extra stuff, so ended up running 30K, four 11s or something. Felt really good in this one, like the legs were just on, had heaps of energy, finished without any soreness, which was big. I guess it was not as many hills as normal, but finished without soreness, which I felt great. That afternoon, ran 6K as a double. And at the 5K mark, totally bonked. Now, I'm not sure what happened during the day where I didn't eat enough, but I got to the 5K mark, and all of a sudden, just this wave of, like, fatigue and tiredness came over me, and I could barely make it home that last K. I kind of, I don't know what happened. But after long runs, I struggle to eat physical food for a while. I have to have, like, I mean, solid food. I have to kind of just have liquids food because I just kind of feel nauseous after hard runs, and I just don't think I ate enough, and I reckon I was depleted after the long run, didn't replenish properly, and then got to the second run and got through like 20 minutes worth, and then all of a sudden just ran out of energy totally. But filled up after that, don't worry. So that's my week, 165, biggest week in, geez, a long time.
You should be too good for mistakes like that.
But
you've been running a while. You know you're doing high mileage. Didn't M. Maisie to get you onto this? Like, I remember talking about this 6 months ago. You need to up your calorie intake.
Yeah, it's easy to say, but then you try to eat something and you feel kind of sick. So I had
by midday and stuff, you'd be able to put down food, wouldn't you?
I had a smoothie. It was midday by the time we kind of finished, like at maybe 11:30 or 12, I had a smoothie and a pastry and a soft drink. And then I had a couple of bits of pizza after that. And then by that stage, you've got to think about your second run. So you can't really eat much. So you kind of got to hold out on eating anything until after the second run. And yeah, I think calories wasn't high enough.
Would you ever, like, your body would get more benefit from replacing the calories and not even worrying about the second run than actually going out and doing 6K and bonking. Yeah, I think so.
Is that your opinion?
Yeah, I think so. And I've got no qualifications whatsoever in this field, but I think it would.
You'll probably find that...
Well, you say
we would never know. No, I'm not saying depletion's good. Yeah. I'm saying that the second run brings my legs back to life after the long run, and I just have to, like you said, I've got to be more professional about nutrition during Sundays.
Would you ever start earlier so you finish earlier so you have more time to consume food that then isn't going to sit in your stomach?
I should run later though.
Sunday. You just want to get it done though, don't you? I'll finish the week, have a beer. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. I'm trying to just start thinking about beer by... And I used to, in Ballarat, I was drinking beer during the afternoon and then running. So I probably was a little more recovered from the beer.
calories in the beer.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway,
not good if you've got to drive anywhere to do the second run, though. Yeah. Good week. What do you got? 3 weeks? 2 weeks?
2 weeks. 2 weeks now. And like today and yesterday, I felt great running. And my legs are coming back. And any type of back soreness is gone. And aftermath of this food poisoning, like hangover, is gone. So I'm getting more confident.
Yeah, good. Any whispers on who you'll be racing down there yet?
Nah, Riley Cox messaged me today. He said he was considering it, but I won't really race him. He's kind of another level athlete than I am, so he'll be in front of me. Not sure who else. Don't know. Nick Earl obviously is in because he talks about it on the other podcast.
Yeah, wait and see. Well, she'll do a media release next week. My week, 14.5K Monday morning, listening to your Rowan Walker interview. I enjoyed that. Bit of a legend. I used to love running the same team as him for Geelong Cross Country, so good to learn more about him. 4:32 average. Then got out for 6K after work on Monday at 4:22 pace, which was good. I remember feeling good on that jog. It was kind of warm weather and, knocked off work for the day, getting it done. Tuesday, I did a bit of a longer workout. Haven't been doing much long stuff of late. And with this half marathon coming up in, I think I've got 3 weeks if you've got 2 weeks. I did a 14K tempo. Aim was to keep it between 3:15 and 3:20 pace, which I ended up averaging 3:15. Mentally, like doing this solo, it's a long time to be out there working out by yourself solo. So mentally, it was a bit of a drain early on. You know, those first like Ks from like, I don't know, 3 through to like 10. Just feel like they drag on a bit.
Especially when you're on the first K at 3:12.
Is that what I did I? 3:12. Then did I settle things down again?
Hey, because you get the first half for free.
I might have to go back and edit me saying that. Yeah, 3:12, 3:16, 3:15, 3:16, 3:15, right on the top end. Anyway, I was feeling good at the end though, Brad, because you'll notice my last 2Ks, I ran 3:09 and 3:06, got a bit of a tailwind and then just, felt strong and I thought I'll just try and run this close to hopefully a pace I can hold for a half marathon in a few weeks' time. So that was good.
Wait.
Yes.
What was the pace or the feel goal at the start of the workout?
3:15 to 3:20.
Yeah.
And I averaged 3:15.
Yeah, bottom end of the range.
But,
how about the heart rate? How'd that look?
Yeah, heart rate was good. I think I averaged 161.
Bit of an uphill though, from like midway onwards.
It would spike though, wouldn't it? Yeah. How do you see that? Are you looking at just next to the K's there?
No. You go to the very bottom. What are you on your phone or something?
I'm on the desktop.
I'm on my phone.
Oh yeah, well. Yeah.
It's not too bad. Like I was still crack 170.
I was still 160. I was 163 at the 9th K, and then still 165 at the 12th K. And it wasn't until I started working hard those last 2Ks that it got to 168.
It just looks a bit like it's an upward trend though, which is normal.
You're always going to have an upward trend anyway. You just get a bit of cardiac drift.
Yeah.
I would have been really worried if that was like a 170 average though. So that was good. Easy in the afternoon. Just Tuesday's a long day. It's like that 14K in the morning was it. 7:10 to start that workout, and then my afternoon run was at like 6:47. So just got out for 6K at 4:33 Tuesday arvo. Wednesday, like a real full-on recovery day because I had to go Tuesday, Thursday workouts this week. So did 6K in the morning at 4:41, so then 10K in the afternoon at 4:28. And then Thursday, I really wanted to get over to the athletics track in Shepparton because I'm racing this Thursday night, so I wanted to get on the synthetic. Just do a bit of a workout there just to get the feel of it, get the next percenters back on the track, get off my grassy oval up here. So I drove over there, met Nathan Stoat. We did a mile to start off with in 4:40, and then had a lap jog, and then did four 400s at 67, 67, 66, 66, and then a lap jog, and then another four 400s going down a gear where we ran 65, 64, 65, 64, a lap jog, and then an 800 at the end in 2:12, which was a bit quick. I was kind of thinking 2:16. I kind of wanted to settle in at that 68 pace. But yeah, Nathan took the first lap through in 66, and then I took over and ran 65. And yeah, it was a good workout in the end, working through all those different gears. Good to be back on the all-weather track. A real confidence booster. Had 60 seconds just walking around between the 400s, if I didn't say that. So yeah, all up kind of like 14 laps worth of work, varying from a mile to 400, and probably at about, I don't know, 67 average, if you're looking at all those splits in there. So that was good. Drove home, big day though. Left Echuca at, I think, 6:45 a.m. Got home at 11:55 a.m. just to go over and run on a track for 27 minutes and 29 seconds. But anyway, that's what you got to do living in the country out here. Easy 6.5k in the afternoon at 4:40 pace. Tired Friday morning, probably because of those two workouts just in the space of 48 hours. So just done 12.5k at 4:40. Then Saturday, did my long run. Went out to Barmer with Glenn for the first 30 minutes, and then chucked the iPod in. Got rolling a bit and started running like 3:58s, I think, after Glenn stopped and headed back to the car. Just on this single track, beautiful morning, beautiful weather. Saw this massive eagle, like, fully startled me. I had to stop my watch and just, like, look at it. Like, would have been my arm span, would have been its wingspan. And it was eating a dead chicken on the track. Don't know how the chicken got there. But when it spotted me coming, have you ever seen a big one and they take a while to, like, get off the ground because they're so big?
Yeah.
Oh, and isn't it magical?
They're like trunks.
I literally, like, stopped my watch straight away and just, like, chucked the brakes on. And then I was just like, oh, my God, what is it? Like, it looked like a dinosaur. I'd never seen anything like that in my life before. And I was just, like, marvelling at this thing flying through the air. And then it stopped not so far away from me, and I kind of walked through the bush just trying to get a bit closer. And I was just clapping my hands trying to get it to, like, fly again, because I was like, show me that again. That was, oh, massive. I couldn't believe it. And then I got a bit worried because I'm like, I hear these things, like, pick up, like, kangaroos and lambs and stuff, and I only weigh, like, 57 kilos. So I'm like, I've got to fang it back. So I just went back, even though I was planning to do another K in that direction. Got back to the car safe and sound. The eagle's still out there somewhere. 25.5K at 4:07s for my hour 45. Then easy afternoon run. Oh, this was another animal sighting. Run along the track, and this goanna's got this sugar glider. And, yeah, they're having a bit of a scruff, and it's kind of trying to take it up the tree. And then I threw a stick at the goanna, and the sugar glider dropped off, and then that climbed the same tree that the goanna was up anyway. So I'm not sure how the fate of the sugar glider ended up.
Hey, bloody goanna was trying to feed its family that night, yeah. And you've just gone and could've fucking... Now its baby's going to starve, and you're fucking...
It looked like a baby, I reckon, this one. The sugar glider was looking in trouble. Like, it went to a dodgy part of the tree. I reckon when I ran on there, it would have been in a bit of strife. And then Sunday, I got out for just over an hour, 13.7K at 4:35s. A bit wet, so just did it with no iPod, no audiobook, no podcast, which is pretty rare for me. Usually I've got something in my ears if I'm going easy. But it was good just thinking away. And then I found a footy, a Sharon. People outside of Australia, this is like our AFL football, just sitting in the bush, and picked it up, and it had a kid's name on it who Carly works with his mum. She's a school teacher as well, so had to message her, and then the kid came and collected the footy later in the day, which I was a bit disappointed about. I thought maybe Hudson might have got his first legit footy.
Yeah, buy him one.
I'm not gonna, they're like $150 those footies, aren't they? He's got a little plastic one. He hasn't had a big one like that to start off with. I was just going to put in the shed for 15 years and then wrap it up and give it to him for his 15th birthday or something. But anyway, This kid got his footy back. That's my week. 145 racing Thursday night down at the Collingwood Classic 5K-er. Mm. Looking forward to getting back on the line. First time in Melbourne since the Melbourne Track Classic last year, last March. Haven't been there for 12 months. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I haven't. It's weird. Haven't been there.
So you're not missing much.
No, I was talking to the boys this morning. They were telling me how good of a city Melbourne is. Like
what boys?
Oh, Glenn and Archie, they were saying you forget how good it is down there and how kind of like special city it is and stuff.
Cool city. It's pretty cool. Like there are elements that are cool, but then after you're there for like a day or so, you kind of just want to get back to quiet again.
When I get stuck in traffic on the way down there, I'll just be fuming.
But, yeah, I mean, no, of course Archie likes it. He's fucking 18 years old.
Yeah.
Moama with like limited choice of
flipping burgers,
yeah. Activities,
a bit more opportunities.
What are you going to run, Brady?
I said 2 weeks ago I'd run between 14:40 and 14:45, but I think I'll run closer to 14:35 and 14:40.
Nice.
Those workouts were good.
Yeah, I reckon I turned a page. They felt pretty good, and I was thinking about just hitting up a few guys on the start list and just saying, hey, let's just take four of us, take 500 each. Let's just roll 69 70s.
Get out there together. And race. You're in a race.
Well, go race Liam Adams at 13:40 pace. I don't think so.
No, race the race. That's what's fun. Like, it doesn't mean you can't get, like, competitive with those around you and have little mini races inside the race. It's great knocking people off, like, around you.
Oh, yeah, I just guess I just want to go down for a good hard hit-out indication of where I'm at. Like, I don't want to sit and then kick home and run 14:55 for fifth and beat those kind of guys.
You're not going to be sitting, though, because Liam Adams is running. Joel's running.
Oh, I'm talking about the second pack. I'm not going to be up with those guys.
Yeah, but you're not going to sit on the second pack. What's the point? You go out there and race.
You don't sit in the car for 3 hours down there to just sit in and run a slow time.
Those guys don't care. Like, those guys will make it honest.
Yeah, I think they will. Hopefully we get sucked along as well. So, should be good. Looking forward to that. What do you think? I'll run Croaks.
I reckon in the 14:30s.
Man, you doing a 5K. It's a couple of days apart.
Remember what shoes he's wearing.
Do you want to put a bet on it?
Nah, you run faster than I am. I'm going there to run 15 minutes. So, I'll be trying to run 15 minutes as easy as possible.
Yeah, okay. If I'm slower than you, then I'm going to be disappointed. Should we...
You should be disappointed.
I know, yeah. Should we thank some Patreon supporters?
Yep, I'm happy to kick it off. My shout-out this week's to Cecily Brown. Cecily is from Newcastle Way, we're pretty sure. Has a 5K parkrun PB of 19:56, which was at Stockton. 14:40 for 10K, 1:42 for the half. Ran 3:58 Melbourne Marathon in 2019. So thanks for your support, Cecily.
Moose, who you got?
I actually have Len Johnson. So Len was our guest on episode 85. Len's from Melbourne. He's a journalist. He's covered a shitload of Olympics, World Championships, Com Games. He's a Runner's Tribe columnist. He's run 2:19. And he's trained alongside Rob DiCastella under Pat Clohessy. He knows a lot about the sport.
Thanks for support, Len.
Rangel, Len. Thank you.
I want to thank Paddo, which I think is David Patterson from Geelong, Victoria. Do you know him down there, Moose? A Paddo?
Oh, nah.
Know any Paddos?
Nah.
Nah. Might have been your mate. Has a real good mullet. Seen a picture of him today. Fan of Bill Burr, going by some of his old tweets.
What's that?
Bill Burr's a comedian. Haven't heard of Bill Burr before? You heard of Bill Burr, Brad?
No.
Okay. Mates with Joe Rogan, Bill Burr, I think. He's on the Joe Rogan podcast a bit. Twitter bio reads, tennis, running, cats, cooking, eating, walking, the beach, music, family. He used to have his own podcast, I think, or YouTube channel called The On Your Paddo Show. And seems fairly new to running. Maybe Strava since like end of 2019. He's run 20:08, 41:26. That's for the 5 and 10K, and the half marathon, 1:33. So thanks, Paddo, for your support, Cicely and Len, keeping the show alive each week. Anyone want to say something nice about Patreon supporters, fellas? Try and get a few more signed up. Put him on the spot. Can't sell it.
I'm trying to think about, like, why you would sign up. I think the biggest reason you would sign up is for the bonus content that you get, because let's be realistic. The people aren't thanking us by signing up. They want more content, right?
Yeah.
It's a subscription now. They want to hear Road to Nowhere. They want to hear the bonus stuff. that's on the show. They want to hear about Ali and Sinead when they ran New York. They want to hear about, what's the other one? Road to, was it?
Valencia. A couple of those boys are meant to be racing the trials over there, actually, on the weekend. Matt Clowes.
Oh, yeah? What, and also, who was the other fella?
No, Pete LeGrasse wasn't, but Paul Marcelletti's on that start list as well.
Oh, he's not. He's in fucking New Zealand, isn't he?
That's what I thought. Maybe he's flying back for it. Anyway.
Fair few Q&A segments on there as well. Remember we used to sit down and do, like, it was generally the two of us on, answering questions.
Just answering Patreon questions about training and stuff. There was a Shoe Geeks episode with Moose before it was actually called Shoe Geeks. I remember talking to Moose about shoes for like an hour.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, remember that back in the day? Anyway, there's plenty of good stuff there.
Let's, just sign up for the content.
And you get a good warm feeling knowing that supporting the Inside Run podcast to bring running content out every week. That's what I reckon a few people do as well, don't they? Maybe. Anyway, running news. Big piece of running news this last week was finally the announcement from Athletics Australia that there will be an elite marathon happening in Sydney. This announcement came, I've got the website open now, it says published Thursday the 18th of March. I'm pretty sure it appeared on the website maybe on the Tuesday the 16th of March and then again on social media the 17th, and then they kind of pulled it down, changed some photos again on the 18th. So a bit messy there, but if you're on social media, you would have seen it popping up and people discussing it left, right, and center. The marathon will be held on Anzac Day, April the 25th, at the Sydney International Regatta Center in Penrith. This race is to provide a vital competition opportunity for athletes aiming to compete at the Tokyo Olympics and Paralympic Games, Birmingham 2022 Commonwealth Games, the 2022 World Championships in Oregon, and the 2022 World Para-Athletic Championships in Kobe. There's a whole lot more in the Athletics Australia article that I was just reading from, but that's the guts of it. Thoughts, boys? We've been hearing about it for a while. I've been trying to get information out of you for a while, Moose, but you didn't know anything. Tell us what your thoughts are. 40 days prep time. Obviously, that's the first thing that stands out to me. Is not ideal. And the qualifying mark was 2:30 for men, 2:50 for women.
People who listen to this podcast know that this was being discussed long before it was announced, obviously, because I'm pretty sure that I sort of chatted about the Zoom call that I was part of on the 28th of January. I did talk about that, right, in the past?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this wasn't big news to a lot of people in the running world. It's a bit disappointing it was publicized so late, because there was only a select few people on that Zoom call, and you kind of have to assume that they were the ones that were told about the race early and knew that it was most likely going to be confirmed at that point. However, there's, like you said, Brady, like a lot of people wouldn't have known about this who were actually qualified to run in the event.
Well, the first point maybe is that, yeah, a lot of people might have heard about the rumours and the whispers, but hearing about them and committing to a marathon block is completely different than it being confirmed and you're into it and kind of prepping for it. Because, for example, like, I heard about it, but I was always like, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? I had little niggles and stuff anyway, so I was never going to do it, even though I'm kind of 11 minutes under the qualifying time. But that, training for marathons is hard, and you want it to be confirmed, and you want to know the race that you're training for is definitely going to happen.
And I think the longer that it went on without being announced by Athletics Australia, the more that we all kind of assumed that it wasn't going to go ahead, because there's no way they could leave it this late without announcing it to the public.
Yeah.
And when I say the public, they basically have to announce it to those who are eligible to enter, and to give them an acceptable amount of time to prepare for the event. Like, I don't really care they don't advertise it to the public. With big media releases, whatever, we just need the people that have eligibility to qualify, all of them need to know about it.
Yeah, and it shouldn't have mattered. Like, so say the men's mark is 2:30. It shouldn't have mattered if your PB was 2:29.59 or 2:08. You should have got told at the same time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
same for the women. If you're a 224 women or a 249 women, everyone should have got the same blanket email, like the copy and paste, whatever it is, goes out to the same people at the very same time.
I was actually surprised by those qualifying standards because I always got the feeling from what, you know, you being on that Zoom chat, Moose, that it was purely like elite and yeah. it was going to be like a real select few. And I almost feel like announcing now that the qualifying times are 2:30 for men and 2:50 for women, it's almost like a token, like, you know, knowing that 40 days is not enough. Like I know people who are around 2:30 that would probably love to run a dead flat marathon, but there's no way that they can prepare for now in 40 days. Yeah. So I think that they've announced, you know, 2:30 to 2:50, knowing that there's pretty much not going to be anybody take that offer up anyway because of how short the notice is.
But then why word it if it's to provide vital competition opportunity for athletes aiming for the Tokyo, like all those different things they're aiming for, the Olympics, the Com Games and the World Championships? 2:30 is not going to get you anywhere near that team. Like I thought the same as well.
It's
I thought
2:11:30.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, same thing. Yeah. Like you got to legit be in for a chance to be included in this email. That's why they haven't included people like me in this email or, you know, announcements.
And this could be a great thing in the future early days it gets promoted well, it's locked in, and there is genuine excitement amongst the running community where people can aim for it, knowing that there's going to be bulk volume of athletes who are running there. Because one of the reasons that why athletes don't qualify for events in Australian marathons is the lack of depth at the top end. It's not because the courses are that slow or the weather's not right or whatever. It's a lot of it comes down to the competition. And if you don't have good competition around you, helping you with pace, giving you incentive to run faster late in a marathon, then you're not going to run these very kind of like hard qualifying, tough qualifying times. Mm. So if we can provide an environment for that to happen in the future, then that is great.
Especially then if you include something like it becomes a bit more of a trial. So there's a bit more incentive for the top guys to do it, because if they win it and they run a particular time, they're almost automatic. But also like having an elite sort of marathon, it sort of has that vibe of Japan, where like if you set up a marathon every year where it's only for guys that are run under 2:30 and women under 2:50, and you have a closed off course where it's going to be flat and super quick, it also inspires people who are like, you know, men that are running 2:35 or 2:40 to go, hey, it'd be really cool to try and qualify for that, elite marathon.
Mm. I totally agree. And I think as AA can write into the criteria for future teams, one of those automatic qualifying spots to be, I don't think you want to make all three the qualifying spot. I think there's a lot of downside to that. But I think you probably, you could give the top spot to the first place, given that they run the time at some point in the qualification period. And then all of a sudden, what a spectacle it becomes, and a lot more incentive. However, there's quite a few issues going on with this particular one. Lot of them were... Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to talk about? Oh, just before we get onto some of that stuff, it's good. I like the concept, but I think the communication about it has just been really poor. Like this time last year when everything was getting cancelled and no one had an opportunity to race a marathon, we were kind of begging almost like Athletics Australia, Athletics Victoria to kind of put on these kind of races. And, you know, we do need to celebrate that they're putting on, which they'd have to be putting a lot of money and resources into putting in on this race. So, that's got to be, celebrated and, applauded. It's just the community. If this all happened on the 1st or the 5th or the 10th of Jan and enough notice was given to everyone at the same time and the communication rolled out smoothly, I don't think we've got a problem with this at all.
Well, I'm not sure. I still feel like this particular race, it says this is to provide vital competition opportunity for athletes aiming to compete at the Tokyo Olympics, as well as and I think... The other championship events in the future, I'm not this one here seems like it's aimed at a Tokyo qualifier to me, and the teams are full. We have a full deck of qualifiers, so, and they were all achieved before the original qualifying period had ended in 2020 for the 2020 Olympics. Yes, I know the Olympics got pushed back a year. However, when qualifying ended, we already have six athletes who are well under the times. We have seven athletes under the times and a full deck of athletes already on the team. So I sort of question why the governing body needs to put an event on to try to have others take the spots of those already on, especially when there is already other races in Australia that exist that are qualifying, like Hobart and Canberra. And yes, maybe they're not the flattest, fastest courses in the world. However, when does AA really care about putting on races so to provide this fastest opportunity ever? Like, when, since when has that happened? Like, have they ever gone, oh, London was really hot this year, so the athletes didn't get a chance to nail their race in London, we better put one on ourselves? Or this particular athlete couldn't afford to go to Japan this year, so we haven't given him the right opportunity to qualify. Like, there's a bit of a precedent being set here. And I think in the future, if this is part of the criteria and this race is proposed from a long way out, it gives athletes a chance to prepare. But to slot this in with only 14 weeks to go until the Olympics as a bit of an afterthought, it I don't know, it doesn't quite sit well to me.
I'm doubting they're not going to get a heap of runners. It's going to be a pretty, pretty small field, I'd imagine. But that being said, like, I really do hope that they put something on like this again, especially given, you know, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to go overseas and run those traditional fast marathons anytime soon. And there's still major championships again next year. So it would be good, like, in a year's time or whatever, that they, you know, but obviously plan it a little bit further out, but put it on for people to qualify for the next Comm Games and the next World Champs.
But just on that, Brad, like, these are, if someone's going to run 2:11:30 for men, or to beat Ali's time, which is like 2:26:20, they can easily go overseas. Like, I got an exemption to travel overseas to compete in the London Marathon.
But which race
in September last year? Well, there's quite a few races about to go off,
yeah.
Right?
Wasn't there one? There was one last night, wasn't there? Christian from Norway was there.
There's one in. I mean, I think Japan's a lot stricter. They're probably not letting foreigners into Japan. However, like, there's.
Jess Stenson's going to be the interesting one because she's going to do it. She's a two-time Olympian. She's ran a quicker time than Ali in the past. She's a two-time Commonwealth Games medalist. This is where things could, after the result of this race could, you know, change potentially who goes to the Olympics. There's a lot of talk around the three fastest, which isn't true. It goes to the names. They've got to hit the qualifying time, then it's discretion. But in the past, it's been the three fastest. So that's something to also think about. But do you think Jess has had an opportunity to race Moose? Are you suggesting this race, Jess doesn't need this race, she should have went over to, do that Hamburg NN running one or something like that, try to get a start there? But or Canberra or Hobart?
So qualifying was open for the entire of 2019, as well as through to basically March.
Yeah, and she chose to have a baby, which is a massive sacrifice.
So,
and sacrifice that other athletes might not have made to qualify for the Olympics.
I'm not suggesting that that's like the I don't really know the backstory, but all I know that the period was open for like 15 months, and these other athletes qualified for the Olympics 2020, right? The race gets pushed back a year, and all of a sudden so qualifying stays open. Even myself personally would go, oh, I feel like the athletes that qualified for the Olympics already, like, they deserve their spot.
But don't you think Athletes Australia want to send the strongest team?
Yeah, but they are. Like, who's stronger than these six at the moment?
Well, that's what we'll see if someone does put a time on the board at this Sydney race.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. It just feels like this is a precedent right here. I think the national body putting an event on because they're judging that some races aren't great for qualifying at, So you would hope that in the future, if a couple of athletes put their hand up and say, hey, I had poor conditions here, or this wasn't great for sprint, like there was not a great field for this event, or the opportunity wasn't great in this season to run a marathon time, can you please put an event on?
Or even just financially, I can't afford to go overseas to one of the fast marathons.
Yeah, exactly. As you said,
I think the precedent's now set that this race needs to happen every year. And if they're going to go to the effort to put this on for, as we said, it might only be, you know, it might suit Jess this time. So if they're going to go to the effort to put this on, with Jess being the main focus that it's going to suit, they need to do that in the future.
Yeah, well, obviously I have a bias because
Ali's coach. And I'm trying to play devil's advocate as well. Like, the last thing I want to see is Ali dropped from the Olympic team.
And Jess did plan to run a marathon before the original Olympic qualifying period ended. She was going to go and do Hamburg or something, and obviously COVID hit. It was obviously not lucky, but you know, Ellie was able to qualify pre-COVID stuff. So Jess did have a marathon planned. I guess between then and now, the only real one that she could have done was maybe have gone to London.
But the original team selection cutoff was like...
But that was before the Olympics got moved back a year.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is, like, there was a very long period that was open for athletes, like, to qualify. And they did. They went and qualified.
Yeah. And so Jess would have looked at the qualifying period and went, all right, I'm going to have a baby, and still had planned to run a marathon before the end of the period. But then COVID hit.
Yeah. Also, as an example, like, I'm going to throw this out there. As an example of, say, support for athletes, like, anecdotally, one of the athletes that I know who's part of the VIS and on the NAS program has an allocation of funds to her that she's allowed to use for, I'm not sure the specifics of it, but it's basically like sort of things outside, things to help her recover or perform or whatever. And she put in a request for a weight bar so that she didn't have to travel every day to go to the gym, or every second day during COVID times as well. And the request was denied, so she wasn't allowed access to the funds that she had there. So you have athletes there who are requesting request for, like, assistance in their support for the Olympics in that they have qualified already for, and getting denied with this type of thing. They offered her, like, exercise bands that you can get for like $12. And she said, I've got that. It's not helping me at all. And yet we see a big event getting put on for athletes that haven't qualified. That's sort of like a little disappointing to know that there's athletes there qualify. It would be great if we could support them for their Tokyo campaign rather than really put them under a lot of anxiety and stress going forward. But that's just another little qualm of mine, is that
you bring that up to compare the levels of support. That's what you're saying. The levels of race is getting funds, put on. Well, really, how much are those bars worth?
Yeah, I don't know, $300 maybe max.
Jeez, I was gonna say I'll take it out. Corica's paying by the person one if you tell us the name, but maybe not if they're $300.
Anyway,
but Moose, you'd like to see an elite only marathon put on every year in Australia?
With more than 40 days notice.
And I would love them to go, okay, World Champs 2022. Now, it's later in the year. I hope it's later in the year. Let's put this thing on in a colder environment than Sydney. Probably not the best climate up there in April. Let's go to Tasmania, Hobart. Let's run a fast marathon down in Hobart. Give us enough chance to recover and prepare for another marathon later in the year. Give the winner an automatic spot, assuming they hit the qualifying mark, and just watch the spectacle that will turn into.
It'd be awesome to see where you could actually find, like, the fastest marathon course in the country. Like, you know, have like a 10K loop or something, like, that's just dead flat, awesome surface. It'd be interesting. It'd be good to put it out there to the public to see where you could actually come up with the best best marathon course.
This is what they need to do well now. They need to publicise and promote this really good, share the stories around it, get the fields out early, get the live
stream. It's coming, right?
Yeah, get the live stream sorted, get the commentary stream sorted. They've got to like do a good job of promoting this race now, because it's going to be interesting.
I don't think this race will be a race. Like, there will be a low number of people running this, and it will be very spread out across the field. It will not be a good one to live stream, I don't think. I don't think we want to be seeing the sport look like this, because I've got a feeling that, like you said, Brad, a handful of people, especially like on the ladies' side. I don't know the field list, but I don't think there's sort of that many people entered.
Consequences, though, a lot of people are going to tune in to watch it.
Look, if you did this well, it would be amazing.
Yeah, I keep thinking. Like, if it was well,
yeah. But it's not this year. The field and the actual race won't back up what the concept is.
Okay.
It's so long. And to sort of be fair to one of the drivers of it, I don't think it was his fault that it got publicized so late. I think there was internal stuff going on that's led this to being so, like, to be publicized so late. It's not a good look. The guy who organized, obviously, Adam Didick, he's the distance lead at Athletics Australia. He was the guy who organized the Zoom call, who's sort of driving the project from what I could tell. I think he got a little let down by those involved in terms of publicizing it, and it doesn't look great now that it's so late in the piece.
We'll follow the developments in the next couple of weeks. We move on, fellas. Is there anything else you want to say on that, Croaks?
No.
And you should go do it, Croaks, next year. See if we can bank a 2:30 to get on the start line.
That's the thing. Like, having an elite-only marathon where the cutoff's 2:30, like, this would be one thing that would maybe inspire me to run another marathon. Like,
back,
if it's
ladies
on...
and gents, is back.
No. But, like, that would be pretty cool to go, all right, it's a sub-2:30 is the cutoff. All the big dogs are going to be there because there's an automatic position up for grabs. I think it would be really good for the sport and good for distance running in the country, especially if you then... I don't know, have like some sort of fun run on the day before, like, you know, where you get punters to come and you have like this 10K loop just, you know, full of support. I think that'd be awesome for the sport.
Even if they gave you t-shirts, like you were a participant in the qualifier race that you just walk around with in Moama when you get home and stuff, I'd be down for that. You know what I mean? Something like that. Tell the local paper you're off to the Olympic qualifiers or the World Champ qualifiers or the Con Game qualifier marathon.
Yeah. Yep.
Save some money on having to fly overseas twice a year.
Certainly be something for those, you know, sort of 2:35 to 2:40 marathoners, or even the 3-hour marathoners that, you know, might think that they are capable of 2:30 in a few years' time.
Yeah, and it'd be easy to organise pacemakers because you just get all these local, like, 5-10 half marathon guys that don't want to run the marathon yet. Just jump on the front, fellas, take us through 20K. Anyway,
What I'm going to do, I thought this was a great comment. Like, the Tempo Journal's put out an article, which if you want to read about it, they sort of put forward their opinion on it. But I just want to read out a comment that Sophie, she calls us on Instagram, it's Sophie Fit, but we know her as Sophie Ryan on the podcast here.
Yeah, she got married.
So she sort of says, I've run 2:42 and I never heard a word about the potential to compete. Granted, I'm not going to make the team and I'm no threat to any of the spots, but no attempt was made by AA to generate any kind of field of sub-elite runners as a productive way to grow the sport. Obviously, I'd have paid entry, airfares, accommodation, and any associated costs. So the idea of opening up the entries would have been an expense. That the entries being opened up doesn't fly. Anywho, So she kind of was disappointed to not be included, even though she's well under the time and one of the better runners in the country.
Well, I've run 2:17 and AA never contacted me.
I ran 14:09 for 5K and never got contacted.
maybe everyone thinks I'm your coach. I coach you too, and that's maybe I should coach you too.
Yeah, I'm coming back.
You need to get back to 14:09, Shane.
April. I'm coming back 1st of April. I'm back on the books.
I could get you back, I reckon, to winning major city marathons and half marathons again.
Yeah, I reckon I'll get this one on the board and then you can get me back. Just trying to do the work to be able to do your work. That's all I'm doing.
You're going to be able to beat Toby, though.
Yeah, I think just work out if he's got a kick finish. I'll just sit on him and now kick him.
Brady, we know you've got a shit kick.
Mate, guys, Dave Ridley, how good my kick is. Out kicked him down in Hobart.
I've seen you kick.
Mate, my iron ferritin level is like 4 that day. Have you beaten me since
I got...
Go
up in...
Actually, no, you saw my kick.
I got my... Yeah, exactly. I got my blood test back the other day, fellas. I'm back up to 62 with me ferritin. I'm going all right. Went from 32 to 62. Popping That's those iron low. Supplements.
Did it the blue collar way.
Yeah, the blue collar way, yeah. Having crawled guts every night for the last 4 months. Anyway, spectators are back. No, they're not back. They're barred from the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. Going to be no foreign spectators. There might be some Japanese spectators, though, that article's saying. Don't probably need to talk about that, do we? We've been banging on a bit tonight. That's just a bit of news for you, listeners, talking about the Tokyo Olympics.
My only comment is, like, obviously just making the Olympic Games is amazing, but, like, imagine you go to one Olympic Games and this is it, and, like, there's no real village. You're pretty much shipped in, shipped out as soon as you've raced. Like, it'd be a bit disappointing, I think.
The Japanese will get around it, though.
Yeah.
I reckon Japanese will get around it, and the viewers are going to be like higher than ever on the street, like, you know what I mean, watching footage.
Yeah.
But anyway, Vic Miles Club Moose, tell us about some results down there. You would have watched the stream, wouldn't you?
No, I didn't watch this one.
I thought you liked watching it, sitting back watching all the kids go around.
I do. Oh, I what? Nah.
They run a good
Georgia, I actually watched Georgia Griffith run. That was the only one that I watched. So Georgia Griffith won the 800 in 2:02.5, and she did that off the front, pretty impressive. In the 1500, Madeline Murray ran 4:16 from St. Stephen's Harriers, beat Georgia Hansen 4:16.84. Oh, close one. Didn't see that, but that's under a second. She must have kicked her at the end. In the men's, Elliot McGorgran, unattached, ran 3:44. Where's Elliot from there?
Archie was telling me Gold Coast Runco up that way.
Oh, yeah. They do all right. Jacko Elliott, yeah. I don't know. They seem to be a lot tougher than Jacko. Maybe he's got someone, assistant coach on board, toughening him up or something. Thomas Thorpe came second, 3:45.08. And then this was a closer one. They had the third place, 3:45.30, Matthew Hussey. So good running. Good running. Joel Donner won the men's 800, 150.6.
Had a lot of people again. They have a lot of people doing those events. They're doing a good thing for the sport. Listener question, Brad.
We've
been going forever here. Let's wrap this up, eh?
It was a quick show, wasn't it meant to be?
Didn't I say that? 60 minutes, I thought. We'd be done by 8 o'clock, but anyway.
Hey, guys, I often hear people talking about A and B races and putting different levels of importance on different races. Can you guys maybe talk about why you do this and how you choose which are A and which are Bs? Cheers for the show, Noah Patton.
He means when we pick races, doesn't he? Not like A grade, B grade, C grade.
I think he means, like, triathletes love this shit.
Yeah. I can't say that. Yeah.
And they call
it any bad race is a B race?
They call it a B race.
I didn't know this.
That means...
I didn't know it came from triathlon.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've perfected the pre-race excuse to a T because they call it a B race and it means it's not as important to them as their A race is. And so they can put in mediocre effort and still come out of it without sort of having to answer to people about how badly they performed.
Yeah.
A races are the race that they spend all season training for. So, like, say it's an Ironman, right? They might do Ironman Hawaii in October, but then they'll do, like, a series of what they consider B races in September, August, July that they'll do, and they won't taper as much for, and they won't recover that well afterwards, and they'll call that B races because they don't prioritise them, whereas the A race gets prioritised with their training.
Yeah. So an example
going into the B races heavy. You don't taper much for them.
No. So an example that I would give for myself was before I ran Canberra Marathon in 2017, maybe 4 weeks out, I went up to Orange and did the half. So I was in heavy marathon training and sort of treated it more as a solid workout as opposed to really tapering to get the most out of myself for that half marathon. So that was an example there. And one that probably didn't go down quite as well was like when I went down and did Melbourne half and hurt my calf. Like I was training for Valencia, and so I didn't really like taper massively for Melbourne. So obviously I still wanted to go there and run well, but it wasn't the be all and end all. It well, did end up being the be all and end all. yeah, so there's some examples for me. And it probably happens a bit more with, like, if you're running a marathon, you might do some, you know, lead up races, which obviously aren't as important because you're training through it. Yeah, or from a track point of view, you might have a couple of rust busters before like your really important one of like state champs or national champs.
Well, what about you running this 3K before the 5K?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It wasn't even a race. It was four blokes turning up to an empty track.
I've never heard anyone recap so much detail for a time trial.
Gee, went on.
Coming from Moose, the guy that talks for an hour every week about 7 days of running.
I thought you was pacing him, mate, not smashing their confidence into another stratosphere.
He was very appreciative.
If you had have stayed with him, he would have broke
yeah,
nine.
I agree with that statement.
He'll break nine, don't worry.
Hope that answers your question, Noah. Hope that answers it. Yeah, good question. Moose on the loose, purchase of the week. What's been happening?
Oh, what have I purchased? Oh, yeah, just bought some, actually. They haven't arrived yet, but I bought these Polar... They're like optical heart rate monitors that go around your arm. So I've used these in the past.
I thought you had.
I haven't loved them.
What was the other brand you used?
Wahoo.
Wahoo.
And so they're better than the wrist one. The wrist one sucks because it's on your wrist and is very poor, like, oh, I don't know what you call it. Is it vasculation? Or some shit that goes through you there. And so it's hard to pick up your heart rate, especially changes to it. And so that's why wrist heart rates suck. But the chest heart rate strap is amazing. It's obviously so accurate, and that's why I'll use that if it's ever that important. So at the moment, I'm using that on most runs. But these optical heart rate monitors are like the same technology as what's in your watch, except you put it around your arm or your forearm, and it can pick up... it can pick up your heart rate a lot more accurately. So I basically bought one for Ali because she needs to wear a heart rate monitor more often. But ladies struggle with heart rate monitors on their chest because the crop top gets in the way, and it always makes it really uncomfortable, and it sort of gives them chafe and it presses into their ribs and stuff. So if you can get accurate heart rate that's not so uncomfortable for a lady, that was the idea behind this optical one. I thought, fuck it, I'll get one myself too when I get it. So, yeah, that's on the way. I'll report back.
Right. That's a good purchase. What's coming up, fellas? I've just opened the start list for Melbourne Track Classic, which is Thursday night as well. That's clashing with the Collingwood Classic. Disappointing. Well, you've got to have a few recreational runs going around Collingwood.
I think that's called A races and B races, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe C or D, I reckon. Nah, Joel's running. Joel and Liam.
Oh, Liam,
yeah. A-quality fellas, those guys, Australian reps.
I'm so glad. Joel's running for the cash, and Liam's there just to make his life difficult.
There's an Ethiopian guy who's run 60 for a half and 208 as well.
Who?
I don't know his name off the top of my head. I'd have to find
the
stats.
Is that the bloke who rocked up to a run for the kids a few years ago and came like fourth?
I think he's going to the Olympics for like the refugee, like the UN team. Like, oh. Yeah, it was an interesting story. It was on the Collingwood Classic Facebook page, yeah. And like he couldn't speak English, so his coach had translated like the Q&A and stuff they did with him.
Shit.
Yeah.
Why is he was a refugee here?
Yeah, you're testing me, but I'll open
this
up now.
This is the story. This is our next guest.
Collingwood Classic. I don't think he speaks English, so we might have to talk to his coach. We got Nick Earle featured on there today. Nick Earle, Collingwood Classic. Sonia O'Sullivan, she's racing. They've got her featured there. They've been doing this this thing where they catch up with different athletes and ask them questions. Did you see the one they did on me, Brad?
I did stumble across that
I'm on the Collingwood Harriers website.
No, Collingwood Classic Facebook page.
You may get mention, Croaks. You may get your wish, except I won't be in my peak form. But you might get to run through Mulligan's.
That's the thing, though. I really wanted to do it in your peak shape. For listeners, they asked me who my perfect run would be with, and I said Brad Croker in his peak through Mulligan's Flats.
I've done that. It's not that impressive.
His name is Abere Cashew Bee Whale. He's representing Essendon. They got him in as a seed as 14 dead, though. Ed Marks.
Oh, I saw that, actually.
14-17. He's the guy that's been pacing Stewie, hasn't he? Is that the same guy? Edward Marks? No.
He's been in a couple of these 5Ks. Yeah, it's
been Adam Spencer, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, he's been too, yeah.
He's been in these races pacing some of the fellas, though.
Yeah, he's around 14-17. We've got an all right 5K field going here. Anyway, Melbourne Track Classic is where the true elite athletes are. Sorry, Liam, if you're listening. There's a good 1,500 there. You got your mate Brad Jai Edwards.
Mm.
He's coming down to Melbourne. You got Ryan Gregson, Cam Griffiths, Isaac Hayne, Adam Pike, Jordan Williams, Adam Spencer. That's who I was talking about. He might have a good run too, Adam Spencer. He was pretty impressive at that state champs. Then the women's 1,500, you've got Madeline Murray, who we just spoke about, Andrea Sekafian, stepping down off 15, Lauren Reed, Jenny Blundell off her national 5K championship, Jen Gregson, George Griffiths stepping up to 15. It's going to be pretty good to watch. Some good night of athletics. They'll be streaming that live Thursday night. Any picks there, boys, in the 1,500s?
I'm excited to see how Jai goes just with... you know, he pretty much did a lot of it on his own here in Canberra. So, and it was really his first race in a few months. So, I reckon he can go a bit quicker. So, it'd be interesting to see how he goes up against the likes of Gregson
and Williams. Remember, Williams beat Gregson at Zatopek 1500.
Yeah. Tom Palfrey, he's was he 17 or 18 or whatever, and he's run 3:40. So he's
see the junior up at Canberra.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. He was good.
I heard he's off to college actually soon.
Okay.
All right, okay.
And the women's race, it's hard to go past Jenny Blundell, isn't it? The kick down at the 5K. She was on a winning streak.
Depends if Lyndon Hall's in the race.
No, Lyndon Hall's not
there, yeah. Not sure why she's not there.
I think Jenny would go in favourite for that one.
Another thing to keep an eye out on the weekend is that British Olympic Marathon Trials. They're live streaming that one. They've got a flat, fast course. It's next weekend. We'll put the links in the show notes. The first time in 40 years that the British Olympic Marathon Trials has been its own event and not at the London Marathon. So this is the example. These guys had plenty of notice. This is an example of what Athletes Australia could have done, I suppose.
It's only March 22. It's not on April 25, so it's another 4 weeks. So you can sort of come off the marathon and then recover and then rebuild and have another crack at a better block. So if these
it's
guys...
March 22. March 22 is today.
Oh, sorry. When's
March 26, I think. Yeah, on the weekend. Oh. Sorry, yeah, I know what you meant. I was just looking at that and being like, what's he talking about?
Yeah, that was me.
March 26, yeah, Kew Gardens. There's a live stream available. They do have the fields, which I did have a look at the other day, just talking about the depth, maybe like 10 to 15 in each field. But anyway, we'll put those notes in the show notes and you can check it out. I think we're done for the weekend, boys, for the week. Anything happening in your life, Moose, between now and next week?
Now next week? Nah, I'm going to get fit. I'm going to get race fit.
You're already fit. Just need to get the start line, yeah. We'll be right.
Need some pep talks, maybe.
Yep, next week we'll give you a big one before you... So, yeah, next week's show will be the next last one before your race.
Yeah.
Then you're staying down there, aren't you, in Tassie?
What?
Aren't you... Oh, wasn't Ali talking about how you're staying down there for like a week or something?
No. Oh, I don't know what she... No, she's coming home the same day as us. So we're going down Thursday and then coming back Monday.
Oh. I thought I heard her talking about staying there for a while.
Oh, she might be, but...
I thought you might have been doing the show from Hobart, coming in live from Hobart. But anyway,
Wednesday night, yeah.
Croaks, what are you doing?
A bit of a track session tomorrow, a bit of a tune-up if it's not underwater. And then, yeah, heading up to Sydney on Saturday. Probably stay up Saturday night, so... Book some accommodation near the track. And I know there's a Macca's actually right near the track.
There is a Macca's across handy. The road.
Yeah, so I might stay at the Ridges because I think the Ridges is right next to Macca's.
It is. That's where I stay when I race at Bankstown.
Yeah.
Whitbread should be paying you to go up there. I reckon he should be paying your accommodation.
Nah, it's all good.
Live streaming.
to run a community 5K.
Yeah. Pay the big dog his wage. Anyway, thanks for listening, listeners. No interview this week, but we'll be back with one next week. So you'll probably hear 20 minutes of Road to Nowhere from last week after the outro music. See you, fellas.
Good luck for Thursday, Brady.
Thanks, Bradley.
Ready. No, it's not working.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, good to hear.
Going? All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 6 of the second season of Road to Nowhere. I'm Nick Earle, the man who's been described as the David Attenborough of climate science. As in, I'm just really old, I reckon. welcome to my co-host, the 2021 Oscar nominee, Noel Tobermory. How's it going?
You dickhead. No one's going to understand that unless they follow you on Instagram. And I'm sure
unless they saw your 0.1%.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I think everyone knows you're a drama queen, Joel, and that's what it's referencing. So, yeah, how's it going anyway?
I'm good.
Joel sent us a picture of him and some wine before the show, so that will explain some of his behaviour on tonight's show. Anyway, welcome to my other co-host, the occupier of Australia's third marathon position for the Tokyo Olympics. How are you feeling about that recent announcement, Ellie?
Oh, I'm feeling a bit nervous, to be honest. I think as it's getting closer, I'm getting more and more nervous about it. But
yeah,
that's okay. I just read an article today, which was really funny. The guy said, and what is Pashley going to do? Is she just going to sit and wait for someone to knock her out? Yes, correct.
Sorry if you guys heard all that noise. And that was my fucking dog just going spastic. I don't know if you guys heard that while you were talking, Ellie.
No,
sorry. He's a rude prick.
Is that Nelson?
Yeah. I love how I say it's my dog. It's definitely Beth's dog, but fuck him.
Right, are we carrying on?
I thought we'd end it there, to be honest.
Yeah, right. Well, thanks for listening, guys.
A quick, short episode 6.
So hang on. Right, we'll go into this. So 25th of April is the date. Ellie, you going to be up and watching, do you reckon, if they do a live stream?
I don't know. I was thinking the other day whether I would watch it or not watch it. It'd be pretty stressful to watch it, so I think I probably won't.
Just avoid it, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just wait and see.
Hope for an East Coast low.
yeah, I don't know.
There's some chat about it being on Australia Day. And
no, it's on Anzac Day.
Oh, sorry, Anzac Day, sorry. Yeah, Anzac Day. And the fact that you're not allowed to do sporting events before 1 p.m.
Yeah, that used to be the case with Anzac Day. I think it was after 12.
Okay.
What, except the AFL match?
No, the AFL match was always after 12 as well.
Oh, you're saying, sorry.
Oh, after lunchtime, sorry.
Gotcha.
I don't
sorry.
Know, yeah, because we used to play netball on that day and it all was pushed
back. So you can play in the
afternoon,
yeah, but the morning has to be, gotcha, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if that date's going to have to get changed because, obviously, you don't want to run a marathon at 1 in the afternoon or midday. So, yeah, I don't know whether that's going to be a factor. But, yeah, a few people have mentioned that to me when I've heard about the date. And I was like, oh, I had no idea.
I don't know if it's like I think it's just a respect thing. So I'm not sure. Yeah.
They
might cop some backlash about it, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to offend anyone, you know, like, I just want to run a marathon. Yeah, I didn't even know about this, actually, coming from them. Yeah, so I don't know whether they'll have to move it to the Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know. So is the 25th a Sunday or a Saturday?
It's a Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, they could surely just move it to the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd think everyone
would thought of that. Unless the regatta centre's being used.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, because it's at the Penrith
Club rowing on or something.
Yeah, I reckon that would get priority, though, over marathon runners that are trying to get to the Olympics, you know?
That's what I mean. I'm not even kidding. It would.
I don't know what the rowers are like there, but in Geelong, they just, like, walk across the running track with their boats constantly.
Oh, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to.
They're a lot bigger than us, unfortunately.
Speak for yourself, Nick.
Under our breath, but we don't actually say anything to them.
I just tapped incredibly loudly.
Yeah.
I noticed today you got the local legend of the Deacon 400, Ellie. How do you feel about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I do
what
do a lot
all that about?
Laps around about? There.
Strava. Oh. All right, I'm going.
Local legend is basically just the person that runs there the most.
Yeah, it doesn't really mean anything.
Kind of like the coach's award.
Yeah, most improved.
You try really hard. You're there, out there a lot, but you don't have to actually be fast.
Is there a local loser award?
That's pretty much it.
Oh, I should have just let that one sit.
Yeah, I'm glad she answered me.
Oh, damn it.
Thank God.
All right, anyway.
Got out of that scot-free.
So, yeah, that was so bad. All right, before Joel gets too drunk, maybe we'll do him first, unless you want to go first, Ellie?
Nah, Joel, go.
Before I'm too drunk, I've got one measly glass of wine. All right, let's fucking start this. So Tuesday session was pretty difficult, sort of. Hard, fastest I've run in a long time. It was started off with 2K in 5:45, and then it was 400 easy, and then I had 4 800s with 60-second rest, and they were prescribed as 2:14, 2:10. So I wasn't able to hit that. I sort of backed myself off a little bit because in previous sessions I've been going absolutely as hard, like, you know, as hard as I can, and I get to like 60% of the session and then I blow up, I have to miss, you know, a quarter of a rep or something, and then I'm good to go, and I'm like, no, I just want to finish the whole main set. Yeah. So I just backed myself off a little on the hard ones. So yeah, it was supposed to be 2:14, it was 67s and 65s, so I ran 2:14 the first one, so bang on, and then the next was 2:12. And the next was 2:13, so it was a second quick, and then the fourth was 2:11, and yeah, that was with 60 seconds rest. So then it was 400 jog again. Yep. I probably should have explained in the session. It's two K, 4 800s, 5 400s, 6 300s, a lap jog in between each main thing.
6 3s. Wow, that's yeah. Because. I was thinking the eights was going to be the end, and I was like, yeah, oh, you're going easy there. Bloody hell.
So 4 8s. So I finished that 2:11 and then into 400 jog. And then it was 5 400s. And I don't exactly remember what – I'm pretty sure the guys had 5 400s, and it could have been 65-60 or 64-59 or something. It was just ridiculous. It was 45-second break, and I am just like, nah, fuck this. I just want to like start to try and run a little bit push hard and have a hard session, but not be sprinting. Like if I'm trying to run a 60-second lap, I'm literally sprinting. Yeah. Whereas Stewie running a 60-second lap is like fucking me doing a 70-second lap. So Bucks and I both were sort of got dropped together and the first one, and we're just like, hey, let's just do these all together. So we went 65, 66, 64, 65, 64. So we probably should have had a little bit more of a difference between them. The problem was he was leading the 64s and I found them too easy. And then I was supposed to lead the easy ones. And I was like, I was, feeling really good. So really I should have led the hard ones and he should have led the easy ones. And we would have had more of a difference, but still got a good 5 400s done. That was with 45 seconds rest. Then another lap jog, and then we finished the session with 6 300s with 100 jog. And I somehow, even though I was like, could not run the 400s with the guys, the 300s, I was like flying. I was hitting like 46 and then just 100 jog and just did six of them. Felt really good. And everyone was sort of blowing up around me. So I was able to, like, you know.
I guess if they were running 59s in those faster
400s.
Yeah,
they went 64, 59. Or they went 64, 60. I don't think they hit any 59s. But yeah, they're 4 seconds ahead of me in the 400s. And so yeah, obviously because I just didn't go as hard. yeah, it is definitely. So I sort of probably had a bit more room to move. But then it was, you know, it's sort of which, I don't know which way it goes, because, you know, like some of the guys blew up massively and were fucking, you know, miles back, whereas I finished the session really well. So I think I was actually happy because I was able to, you know, finish it really strong. So yeah, and I did those 6 300s. Yeah, 46 was great. And it was the biggest Tuesday I've ever done. I think the morning was 22K.
It's like 8.5 Ks of effort or something there.
Yeah, I think so. And then with all the 400 jogs, like we usually, it's like you look at the watch at the end of the cool down, it's like 18, 19 K, and this was 22.
So, oh, wow. Yeah.
It was, and it was with 22, and it was like fucking all 8K of it was like under 240 pace, or it's under 245 pace. So yeah, it was massive.
I think with those high volume sessions too, you're better off if you can still finish strong rather than like completely blowing to speed.
Blowing, exactly. you're right. It's just funny, like
backing off the paces a little bit to get through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Get more out of it.
100%. I've sort of thought, like, you know, how many weeks now have I been doing these Tuesdays, and every single week I'm still getting dropped, and it's like I sort of beat myself up about it. I'm like, this fucking sucks, and then I realize I'm put myself against the, if not the fastest white guy in the world, Stewie. So it's like, yeah, you know what I mean? It's sort of hard to, like, you know, put yourself. And then it was just helps because then I go to a race and then I freshen up and I'm like, I race sort of good. So that's the catch, I guess, with these hard sessions. And then Thursday, typical boring Caulfield, 4 laps threshold. It was, I don't know what the fuck they put on the grass, but it was some sort of fertilizer, because it was like Jack and I were doing the warm up and we were saying, we'd just like look over to the tractor, just spraying canola oil like all over the grass because it was so slippery. And I've got the 4%, the fly knit 4%, the originals, and they're just so, well, not the original, but the fly knit ones.
Bottom, yeah.
Yeah, and they're just the original sole, and they're just, exactly, it's like a marble sheet. And I am definitely someone who, like, it suits certain styles. Like, I think on the road I work really well. But, and on grass I can go good if I've got spikes, but flats on grass for me, if I slip. But it was just ridiculous. Every step it was going, single step. My foot was sliding. Now, this is where it pisses me off. We did 4 laps and I went, Bitters told Jack and Brett to go with me because they was obviously were racing on Saturday. So they said, just go with Joel the first 2 laps.
Just jog around with Joel.
Just jog around with Joel. Exactly.
I'm going to fuck these guys up.
And I was, I was feeling actually really good, but I was like, I can't run. And my hamstring was getting tighter and tighter because it was slipping out. So I was like a fucking lamb shank, like grabbing onto the bone just to try and make sure I wasn't slipping on the grass. And I, after 2 laps, I went, nah, this is just fucked. I can't run. So I dropped them off and left the course. I didn't have time to tell Nick, or he would have thought, what the fuck's he doing? But I said to Brett, I said, tell Nick that I'm going out to do the next 15 minutes because I can't run on this. So then I went, and the moment I went out, I was running like 302s or something for the last 15 minutes on the row. And it was sort of a bit hilly, and I was flying. I felt really good and just kept it at the threshold heart rate. And I come in, finish the session, think, yeah, fuck, I've gone well. And I said to Nick, I go, yeah, sorry, I just couldn't train on that. That was ridiculous. And he goes, why? And I go, because it was just so slippery. What, didn't they say it was slippery? And he goes, oh, well, Stewie just ran the fastest anyone's ever run here. And I said, fuck off. I said, that's because that fucking gangly stick, literally, he slides. He's like got ice skates on his legs. And so when it's slippery, even, I'm not kidding, his fucking style, you know, because he's got the real low feet. And they just like, it's like honestly gliding on the
sliding back.
Yeah, I'm fucking sliding back. He's sliding forward. It's bullshit. I'm not kidding.
Was he wearing those ones with spikes on the bottom or anything?
Nah. He ran 27 flat, which is, whoa. I don't even want to tell you how. Like,
it's 9.5K, isn't it?
Yeah, I've run 28, what? 20, and that was 302s or 303s. And this is on shitty grass cross country. And that was the fittest I've ever done. And he's a minute 20 in front. Now, obviously, there's no, if Stewie's listening, which he definitely isn't, he is fucking flying, but he also doesn't do it with heart rate. Like, I even said to Brett, there's no way, maybe, fucking, what's his name? The world record holder. What's his name? I always forget. The new world record holder. yeah, Cheptegei. Maybe Cheptegei's threshold will be 27 flat, but no one else in the world.
So that's like 250s.
Yeah, I think
so. Around there.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. But he was just flying, and I'm like, what was he wearing? Of course you'd. The next percents. And the next percents do have more grip, definitely. Yeah, they've got that black. Not that much more. No, you're right. So he definitely. He suits that. That's like why on the gravel he flies. Like Stewie's so good on the gravel.
I'm just thinking, because he doesn't really have a big like kick up. Like
which is exactly what I've got. My fucking heel almost hits my ass.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. So he probably puts a bit less kind of like torque through the bottom of his feet almost. Do you know what I mean? Like he kind of shuffles a bit more rather than you'll have a longer stride. So I guess it's putting more force through the ground, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. That's pretty amazing, though, on slippery. Bloody hell. Yeah, right.
Ridiculous.
So does he use wrist heart rate or he just doesn't use any heart rate?
I don't think Stewie doesn't use anything. He doesn't have Stewie doesn't have a heart. He's he doesn't use GVS. He's just got a stopwatch. It's ridiculous. It's just old school. So I don't think Stewie doesn't know what Ks he runs a week. He doesn't know anything. He just I might be wrong. I might be wrong because I'm super selfish and I don't care about anyone else except myself. But I'm fairly sure that's what he does.
We know how so selfish you are, Joel. Ladies and gentlemen, just off air, Joel was telling us about how after Hobart run the bridge, he just decided to run in the middle of the 5K, getting in a lot of people's way until Jess Frengrove told him off.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up on air.
Yeah,
just one of those stories of me being in my own world. And
the thing I don't understand is how you didn't know you were running reverse through a race. Like,
so because we were cool, I'll explain it. When we were
I saw you coming in when we were cooling down,
you weren't telling a funny story, Ali. You don't understand. Like, when you've got the floor, you have to hold the floor. And everyone's laughing around me, and I'm just in my own world. But like, I'm imagining I'm up on stage doing a stand-up routine. I got my hands flailing everywhere.
Because you were running into the oncoming.
And then I realized, because I finished. I said, so how was that story? And they were like, Joel, get off the fucking course.
Just so you know how annoying it is when someone gets in your way when you're going full tilt. And this is Joel. He's a professional runner, very experienced, and he's just in the middle of a race, running the opposite direction.
How rude can you get? I shouldn't be laughing so bad. It's honestly, it's not good enough. It's really, really, really bad. And there's nothing more I have to say.
Classic elite runner.
And then he bumped over this old lady who then smashed her face on her.
Okay, that is definitely not true. That was an unrelated story, but
She wasn't looking where she was going because she was looking at the guy running.
Yeah, she was looking at that guy and going, holy fuck, there's a lot of people laughing around him. He must be telling a pretty funny story. And then she tripped.
Why has he got his arms flailing around? Yeah, it must not be the story I've heard from. All right, so Sunday run, Joel.
Yeah, I went solo, put a bunch of new interesting music on my phone, on my watch, Garmin 945 music, and put my headphones on and went solo because obviously everyone was in Sydney, literally every one of my training partners except Stewie. And I'd never run long with Stewie because he goes early around Albert Park and I find it boring. So I slept, had a good sleep in because I did my long...
Could have had a chat to him though, Joel.
Oh, I couldn't think of anything worse. Chat to him two other days a week. and then, I love long runs with music. And, I only wanted to do an hour 45. And the Capital City Trail is like 30K. So it's, 2 hours at 4 minute pace. So I cut through the city and just sort of cut off that, bottom, that western suburbs part. I ran further. So the back of the city. I forget what the road is. The one before
is it Russell Street?
Spencer Street. It could be Russell. Spencer Street. I was sort of mixing across a few streets. I was just sort of in my own world again. I could have been running backwards into a park run for all I know. Probably again, this time just not telling a story. And then, went all the way to Princess Park, did a lap at Princess Park, and then back onto the trail. And I was sort of running, I was running through. I think the whole run was like 3:51 pace for 27K. So
that's hell.
Yeah, it was nice.
Jeez.
And the K's for the week, 134.
Oh, big week.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit like marathon training or pacemaking training.
Yeah, wouldn't you like me to be pacing? I'll pay me 20 grand and I'll pace you. Anything less, you can fuck off.
20 grand. All right. Yeah, all right. Post-op. Oh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, telling these two about what my job is. Before, they didn't know I was a postdoc working at UTAS. So you knew I was a climate scientist, right?
Yeah, we knew that.
Oh, I was hoping LAU weren't going to answer. And I was hoping it was going to be like he was asking the audience, you know, because he's talking to the audience then. He's like, so you guys knew I was a
So can you stop drinking, Joel? Like, you're embarrassing yourself now.
I've had half a glass of wine, you dickhead.
Yeah, but you weigh less than a feather.
All right, it goes straight to my legs. Skips the invisible torso.
Exactly. All right. Good week, Joel.
Thank you. Good sessions.
Good Cheers. Sunday run. Bloody good Sunday run, actually. Yeah. It's basically a session because you don't do a Saturday session.
That's exactly right. That's why I'm sort of.
Ah, so it's shit then. Yeah, all right, Ellie.
Take it away, Ellie.
Yeah, go.
Sorry. I'm just doing some work.
Are you kidding?
No, I
wasn't. Some work. How dare you?
I'm loving this, guys. I'm loving it. All right. On Tuesday, I went to Deakin. Became the local legend, according to me.
There you go.
So I did 4 by a mile, and the idea was that each lap progressed. So 80, 78, 76, 74 with a 400 jog. And then 3 laps of 100 metres hard, 100 metres easy. So I did this with Craig and a guy called Bevan, who's just moved to Geelong for uni, coached by Dane Verway. So he asked us if he could jump in with us.